We all know the reason there are so many sad country songs and angry rap music that those without God are simply not happy. Once you're saved, the only emotion you will ever feel is joy, and you never have a negative thought or feeling ever again. Those who feel sad or angry are clearly of the devil. Amen? This is the Bible After Hours. Can you hear me? Is this thing on? Okay, good. I am the foul-mouthed preacher, and this is the underground church. The word vulgar originally just meant to speak the language of the people. That's what Jesus did, that's what the apostles did, and that's what we're going to do here today. So, if you have kids around, we will be foul-mouthed, this will get vulgar, this is just your warning. The church above wants to act like it's all sunshine and rainbows for Christians, like their shit don't stink. And like God is only after their internal happiness. They act like God is all about doing something for them. And like Christians should never feel sad or overwhelmed. I grew up wondering every time something made me sad or angry, whether I did something wrong. Or maybe someone that I was around or hanging out with was doing something wrong, or maybe I shouldn't be around them. I always felt like I should feel happy or joyful whenever I was really right with God. If I'm really right with God, I should be happy. Otherwise, I must not be right with God. It fucks me up just to think about. Like, I hacked up a lot of my life to superstition, like a superstition of God, where he might want me to live somewhere else, maybe. Or maybe he wants me to go to school somewhere else, or, you know, date someone else, you know, whatever, because I'm not happy, so clearly I'm not doing what God wants. Because if I was, I'd be happy. So I'm feeling a little blue today. That must mean God doesn't like me dating this girl. Or I'm kind of feeling angry at the world. Well, that I must not be living in the right state. You know, I moved wherever, I dated whoever, I picked my friends based off this like superstition of my feelings, because I thought my emotions were just a reflection of how right I was with God. Rather than seeing, maybe, sometimes sadness is a good thing. And maybe it's even occasionally what God desires of me is to be angry. When I see shit like what happened January 6th, maybe God wants me to be angry about that. When I see shit like people priding around their sins, like nothing's wrong, maybe I should be angry about it. Maybe when a loved one passes, I don't have to celebrate that they're in heaven and it's okay that I'm a little sad that they're not with me. And maybe sometimes bad things happen to good people. Maybe sometimes bad things happen to Christians, whether they're good or not, without any fault of their own. Sometimes life is just shit. And believing right or doing the right superstitions or whatever, it's not gonna fucking fix it. We all feel sadness, anger, overwhelmed. Sometimes we all feel like there's something wrong with us, or maybe we feel like how we're living. And sometimes we blame hard times we blame ourselves for hard times. We think it's our fault. And when really sometimes when it rains, it pours and shit just happens. Maybe it's a breakup or a divorce. Maybe it's something with your job. Maybe the loss of a loved one, or being mistreated by someone you care for deeply. Abuse. We all have legitimate reasons for hurt, fear, sometimes even sadness. Shit happens. It's okay. It's just life. Sometimes life is shit. The church has a really weird relationship when it comes to music. For a long time, most of the good music, the stuff that was actually like well-produced, that sounded good, had deep emotion, deep meaning to it, that was really reflective of the human condition. A lot of that actually was just coming from the church, came from Christians. For a long time, we wrote songs about grief, about times of anger, times of happiness. You know, we had all the feelings and we were able to express them well, just like what happens in the Psalms with David. Sometimes David's like, you know what, let's kill all their fucking babies. Yeah, that's in the Psalms, we'll get there one day. Sometimes David is like, yo, I feel like I'm drowning in just a pool, and like wave after wave, the shit won't end. And sometimes David's like, man, life is so good. I love God and everything is rainbows. A lot of times today, our Christian songs are just happiness, joy. What can God do for me? How great is life when I love Jesus? But the church used to write songs that were a little bit deeper than that. At some point, especially Protestant churches, we began to vilify music if it wasn't about Jesus, if it wasn't about feeling good. I even heard a church once play the Happy by Pharrell Williams or whoever it is. I feel happy, but they would never play a sad song, never play an angry song. We don't even often go to hymns anymore that are about sadness or anger. The church has lost its love of music. It's another reason I think the Psalms are important. So I'm skipping over Psalm 2. was, you know, it was a coronation song that was about, like, politics and shit, and I'm just fucking tired of talking about politics. We did a whole, like, judges, Samuel, we talked about that. I want to move forward, talk about something different. So, we're skipping Psalm 2, we're going to Psalm 3. Again, I'm going to read the whole psalm, we're going to look at it as a whole, and then we're going to go into the details. We can see the forest, and then see the trees, in light of the forest, instead of missing the forest for the trees. Kind of, you know, the whole shit we said last time. All right, Psalm 3. Lord, how my enemies have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. Selah. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I was crying out to the Lord with my voice, and he answered from his holy mountain, Zion. Selah. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of tens, thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, Lord, save me, my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be upon your people, Selah. Have you ever just felt like screaming, why won't it stop? Why won't it stop? Has it ever felt like the whole world just took one giant heaping shit on you all at once? That's where David was at when he wrote this psalm. So when we think of the psalm as a whole, you know, really a lot of people will say it's a psalm of grief. It's, you know, one of these other kind of, you know, psalm of like crying out for help, whatever. I think this is more a psalm of comfort, ultimately. You may notice, looking at the forest, the whole picture, the song starts from a place of despair. At the end, it focuses on God and his provision. So it starts with, oh man, life's shit, and ends with, whoa, God is so good. This is the kind of psalm that makes that Christus Victor model of salvation, that the way we are saved is actually because Christ defeated sin, defeated death, defeated the grave. That's what salvation was Christ defeating things, and on his resurrection is when salvation happened. There's a lot of different salvation models. I'm not sure which one this podcaster or even the voice actor really adheres to, but this psalm really makes that Christus Victor model seem kind of likely, right? Like, God is the winner. He's the one who defeats the enemies. The final enemy is death, according to Corinthians. God wins. God is love. Love wins. And I know that's not the LGBTQ meaning of it, but I think it's still important to meditate on what it means in this context to say God wins, to say love wins. What a battle cry, right? Like, what a thing to scream. The whole world just shit all over you, and you just want to scream, why did this happen? Why? Just scream, why? But instead, the psalmist screams, and we can scream, love wins. How powerful is that? Narrowly, we see, you know, zooming in on some of these details, we see the psalmist starts discussing how many people are against him. How many people are there? Tens of thousands. He talks about how bad it is. And then we see kind of a progression throughout the psalm, right? He turns to God is his defense, his shield, right? And then it's like he's defending him against the enemies, and then God becomes his foundation, the mountain. That's what God is. And then finally, by the end, God is just conquering the enemies completely. Some lines I really like that really stick out to me, and if you understand like some of the imagery and stuff, I think it really is beautiful. The lines where he says, God struck my enemies on the cheek, and then he repeats and he says, he shattered their teeth, struck the enemies on the cheek. That's kind of embarrassment. That's humbling the enemy. So God strikes them, he humbles them. And then shattering the teeth, that's rendering them completely harmless. That's the weapon, right? Like think of like a lion with no teeth. Well, it still has claws, but you know, think of something with sharp teeth that doesn't have claws. The idea is that by shattering the teeth, God's rendering them without a way to attack anymore. Not only does he humble those who are against us, he also keeps them from attacking again. Now, if that doesn't get your Pentecostal vibe, you're wanting to start speaking in tongues, I don't know what will. God renders your enemies. Not only does he embarrass them, not only does he humble them, he renders them without a way to attack you again. Again, the Psalms aren't really theology. They're not subscriptive, they're descriptive. This is what the psalmist felt. Not necessarily, hey, this is good theology and here's what we should believe. But I still think this is like a really, like this psalm, if you really connect with it emotionally, it can be a very healing and empowering psalm, not only a comforting psalm. So the psalm ends by giving all credit to God completely. You know, we start with the focus totally on the enemy. Oh, I'm overwhelmed. Oh, the enemy's here. Oh, I'm under attack. And then the psalm leads into God's going to protect me from the enemy. Still talking about the enemy. Then it leads to God's going to strengthen me so the enemy can't get to me. Still talking about the enemy. Then it's God's going to save me from the enemy. Still talking about the enemy. You know, slowly the focus is becoming more and more on God until the end of the psalm. The focus is completely on God. That last line doesn't mention the enemy at all. It's salvation belongs to the Lord. May your blessings be upon your people. We don't mention the enemy at all. The focus shifts. Oftentimes, in the church today, oftentimes, us regular Christians, me, myself, oftentimes I make everything about my struggle, the shit I'm going through right now. Or I make it about how is God going to help me through whatever I'm going through, or whatever you're going through. You know, I talk to you like, hey, how can God help you through this? You know, what can I pray for you so that God can do this thing for you? Very rarely do we focus on God is just fucking good. Rarely do we focus on God is the sole victor. God is salvation. God is all in all. And that's what the psalm does. It takes your focus where you start and you're connecting with him. You're like, yeah, life is shit. Sometimes when it rains, it pours. Yeah, you're connecting with him. And if you follow him, you're still emotionally invested in what the psalmist is expressing. But at the end, your focus is completely on God. How healing is that? How powerful is that? Our focus is on our struggles. All we're going to see, we're just going to seem hopeless. That's all we're going to see. This is where fear and anxiety rules our lives. And if our focus is on how we can defeat our enemies, or if the focus is on how God can do it for me, everything's going to seem like it's about me, about us, if that's our focus. This doesn't remove us from our situations or lead to salvation. This keeps us stuck in the situation and felt with pride because I'm going through this shit and God's going to help me do better or I'm going to defeat it. It's not about God at that point. It's just about you or God enabling you. Just narcissism. You're still in the shit, though. And if we move out of those mindsets to a mindset that says all salvation, all strength, all good is from God. God is all in all. We're focusing solely on God. Then we will be saved. And those whom he has saved are saved indeed. Yeah, we're still going to have troubles. Shit's still going to happen. There's still going to be hard times. But they don't have to overwhelm us the way that they would if we're focusing on our troubles or if we're focusing on how we can defeat our troubles. They don't have to overwhelm us like they would in those situations. If we're focusing on God instead, we're able to keep our focus on what is greater than our enemies, what's greater than our abilities, and what's greater than what can you do for me mentality. If God is for us, who can be against us? Have you heard that verse? How about this one? If we ask it in his name, where two or three are gathered, or here's another one, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. All of these verses, when they're put in their context, and you read them where they're at in scripture, they're not actually about us. They're not about our abilities. They're not about what can God do for us. If you put these verses in context, look them up, read them where they come from. All of these verses are actually pointing to God, what he has done, what he can do through you, not for you. And there are a lot of them are actually about our role in the church and how God's going to allow us to be part of his church, of his body. Yeah, that verse that's so often used for our personal salvation, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Put that in context. It's talking about the church. It's not talking to a single person telling you, hey, you could do this on your own. No, it's saying be part of the body. Be part of God's body, the body of Christ, doing his will and his work in the world, keeping focus on him and what he wants, not on your petty shit. You know what I want you to do today? Write down your struggles. Whatever it is that's keeping you feeling down, whatever it is you think that you would consider your enemies today in your own life. Then I want you to take that paper. Once you've made that list, I want you to take the paper, throw it away, burn it, do something. Allow yourself to visualize and realize that stuff, it's not worth your attention. It's not worth your focus. Then I want you to take a new piece of paper and write down a list of all the things you know about God. You know, different people have different ideas of God, whether he's immutable, omnipotent, all that stuff. But you know, write down what you do know of the characteristics of God, his sovereignty, his love for you. Write down everything you know about Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Make that list. Everything you know about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Make that list. And then keep that paper somewhere that you can keep looking back to it to remind yourself where your focus should be. And then, you know, as you learn more about God or Jesus, Holy Spirit, anything new you learned about them, add it to the list and just keep going back to it. Keep focusing on it. Make a note on your phone if you need to. What do you know about God? What do you know about Jesus? What do you know about the Holy Spirit? Focus on who he is. When your focus is on that, your focus is truly on God. It's not on the shit that you might be going through. It's not about the fucked up stuff someone else might have done. It's not even about the regular just weariness of a tiresome job or whatever. Your focus is truly on God, we'll be able to notice more love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, self-control, more of the Spirit, more of the fruit of the Spirit of God will be infiltrating your everyday life. As we focus on God, we're truly saved. I believe we're going to grow more and more like Him every day. Our problems aren't going to go away. Shit's not going to go away. But we can be ready for the next day, the next problem. Regardless, our focus is on God. We're not going to have to be overwhelmed. We're not going to have to be put down from all of the shit. Shit will still be there. Focus is on God and how great He is. We'll make it to the next day. Guys, I don't want you to share this on your public social media accounts. If you think there might be someone who could be offended, don't share it there. If you think you can share it without offending anyone, please, please share it publicly. That does help the show grow. But again, we don't want to offend anyone. That's not the goal of the show. So don't share it if you think you might offend someone. Instead, share it with one friend, or maybe a family member who might benefit from hearing this message. Let's bring the church back to the common people. Thank you for listening.
This was an Anadal Ministries podcast. If you enjoyed this show and would like to learn more about our network, go to the website in the description below. If you'd like to check out other shows like this, be sure to subscribe to the network.